Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. We're still riding worm.
That's right. We are still in formation. And I have just a few more rules about riding. I'm just kidding.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. I would not do that.
We are riding worm in minute 111 through 112 of Dune Part 2. And Zach, we told a lie yesterday. We said that there were 7 worms in this formation. About 3 frames into this minute, 3 more worms show up. So there's actually 10 worms that I, by my count at least, in this formation. And
well, we only saw 7 yesterday.
True. Yeah, that is very true. I'm curious though. So here in the States, we have the Blue Angels, very famous, you know, group of some of the best Navy pilots.
Yep.
Do you think there's a Blue Angels equivalent for worm riders?
Yes. It's probably the Tan Jens, though.
Okay.
That would make sense.
Yep. The Tan Jens going on tangents.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. That's all that they're capable of doing is riding worms and going on tangents.
Yeah. And someone who is like, who hangs out with the Tan Jens, but is not part of them.
Yeah.
And who always like takes the conversation in weird ways would be a tangential tangent.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. That joke's over now.
I don't think I could add any more.
No, I can't. Nice. we are minute 111 through 112. 3 more worms show up. 10 worms in formation. Mm-hmm. And we see a really cool shot.
It'd be a 10 tangent. Oh my God. I'm just kidding.
We see a really cool shot that we have not seen before in terms of like worm riding and how sand interacts with the worms.
Yes.
So, okay. Camera is in front of probably like 100 yards in front of the worms as they are approaching the camera.
So much further than that.
Or maybe further.
Yeah.
Point is
they're
that
riding head into the camera, head on to the camera, head on, apply directly.
Head on, apply directly to the forehead. Head on, apply directly to the forehead. Head on, apply directly to the forehead.
Only 90s kids will get that one.
Hey.
cut that.
No. I'm leaving that. Fuck you. So, yeah, we have these worms approaching very quickly, and we see the sand getting disturbed in front of the worm.
Yeah.
Almost like a reverse wake, I think, is the way that I described it in my notes, where, like, if you're in a boat, right, and the boat is moving quickly, you generate wake behind it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, cutting in front, so it's almost like an icebreaker ship or whatever, how they have those super long, like, front pieces just like tear the ice up in front to open up shipping lanes and everything. So,
I noticed this and I watched this little, you know, 2 or 3 seconds of the shot a couple
just
of times.
Kept hitting the back arrow on my keyboard and I'm just like, ooh.
Now, I think it could be a couple of different things.
Okay.
The front of the worm, the mouth of the worm, is not exactly, I'm going to use the term aerodynamic, but you get what I mean.
Sure.
It's kind of it doesn't come to a point. So it doesn't like cut through the sand.
No, it's a tube.
It's a tube. Yeah.
It's a boba straw.
It's like the internet. it's a system of tubes.
Thank you, Al Gore.
So it could be as they are moving with great speed, some of the sand that is right in front of them gets deflected forward, you know?
Well, you also got to think, too, you have this massive worm moving really quickly, and it's compressing all these sand grains into each other, which is pushing outward.
And that was my other thing. It was like, this is truly a forward wake, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it extends maybe a quarter the length of the actual worm in front of them.
I wouldn't say it was that. We don't know how long these worms are that they're riding.
But it's a fair distance.
Definitely like probably that's probably, you know, 50 meters out in front of the worm or whatever that it's pushing this. So it is a significant distance ahead of the actual worm itself.
Yeah. And so the other thing is, okay, so say you're a like a high diver.
Yeah. Okay. Like the Olympic.
Yeah. Like cliff diving, whatever. Typically, you will throw something down first to create a disturbance in the water, so you're not just hitting like a flat, still plane.
Yep.
It could be like the natural, and this is just, I'm pure headcanning in this okay. right now. Maybe the worms, like through those guttural vibrations that they emit.
Yeah.
They're making these sound waves to disrupt the sand ahead of them to make it easier to cut through.
I mean, I would assume that they had evolved in some way to, you know, move through the sand
right.
more easily.
Because, you know, at scale, sand will operate like a fluid.
Yeah.
Especially when you get like vibrations involved with it. So it's a lot easier to move through something that's already moving.
Well, dude, you're just like fucking segueing perfectly into my stuff because, right. you know, one of the things that we've talked about multiple times on the show in the extras for both the part one and the part two movies is what the teams did to like understand the fluid dynamics of sand. And they would like go out into, you know, the desert during pre-production and everything. And they would take all sorts of crazy stuff with them, whether it was, you know, like motors that they would put under the stand or like vibrating pads or like speakers in some cases, and just like fuck around with sand to see how it responds to different types of vibrational energy and everything.
Very cool.
So yeah, you can definitely see that like what we're seeing here, at least to me in my non-sandologist, I would assume a sandologist would most likely be a geologist.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, sand. This is a sand specific conversation. So
sand is tiny rock.
Tiny rock make hot, turn glass.
Yeah, yeah. They can make liquid sometimes if you get hot enough. And if you get that, if you get enough rocks and put enough electricity through them, you can make them think.
But yeah, sandology joke aside, you can definitely tell that the people that worked on this put a lot of effort into it. And, you know, from what I can tell, this makes sense.
Yeah.
In terms of the fluid motion of it all and everything.
So as much as I would have loved to have stayed with this aerial shot and just watched them ride in formation for maybe another 45 minutes, just to round out the end of this movie, like that would have been great.
That's it. Yeah. That's just the end of the movie is just 45 minutes of formation.
Yeah. That would have been fine with me.
Could make it your, screensaver or your, desktop wallpaper with like wallpaper engine of just the worms moving.
Yeah, yeah. I've not had a desktop wallpaper in years. It's just black screen.
So you have no personality. Okay, that's fine.
Correct.
This is about right, actually, now that I think about it.
My phone's background is also just black screen.
It is.
I don't need it. I don't need to have a background. We don't stay with them. As much as I would love to, you know, have this go on, we do not stay with them. We get to see the, I guess, next door neighbor of the worm that we were originally riding with. And it's Paul.
Unsurprisingly,
it's Paul.
He did say that he would go south.
That is true. And
begrudgingly,
he does not look exactly focused right now. He looks like he is a million miles away in his mind, as he's driving this worm. At least that's what I took from it.
You got to remember moments ago in movie time, he was just hanging out with DJ Jameis. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, he's got a lot on the mind.
Yeah. And
sorry, Jameis.
Jameis. Yes. Jameis. So it looks like Paul, gets his worm and starts to kind of veer to the left.
He hard cuts. He doesn't kind of veer. Well, he fucking yanks his maker hooks and just like goes off. And Chani is, you know, sitting there or not sitting there, standing there watching him. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But
at the same time, she also recognizes that she has all these other like wounded people on the back of this worm and she's got to take care of them first.
Yeah.
So yeah, Paul veers off and, you know, he's got a really interesting like hood and everything on. It's like a super like almost boxy shape.
Oh, yeah. This is like, these hoodies existed. They exist in real life, like this style of hood.
Yeah.
It's like a street tech wear kind of hoodie.
Kind of?
I
buy my t-shirts and stuff from like Target. Well, not anymore because, you know,
Target. Fuck Target.
Fuck Target right now. But like, yeah, like I live my life in t-shirts and basketball shorts mostly because I work from home. So I don't have to like dress nice.
Yeah. You're a big Adam Sandler fan.
If I had as much money as Adam Sandler, I would still dress like a piece of shit too. So
I'm just waiting on him to play Gangnam Style.
Oh god.
I said that we cut to Paul. I mean, so what's happening in the movie is that we cut from this, you know, worm riding formation, and we cut to Paul as he's walking up to the Maker Temple. And this is where we get to really see that hoodie that he's wearing. And it's very like emo style walking. I would not have been surprised.
Paul walks a lonely road. The only one he's ever known.
I was about to say, I would not have been surprised if he like paused and like took out some headphones and like My Chemical Romance was playing through them. That would be on par for what's happening right now.
Paul's just listening to I'm Not Okay over and over and over.
Yeah.
Which, in fairness, Paul's not okay right now.
No, he's not okay.
While we're talking about music, I do want to talk about the like sudden shift in tone that the music has here, because it is dark and it is just like the most aggressive low notes on a cello.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful. Yeah. Love it.
Well, back in the conversation, I think it was around the time we talked with Raul Vega. We talked about some of the instruments and the specifically like the resonator chambers that those people, like those super smart folks, built for this movie.
I don't remember their names, but they were some Canadian artists. If you don't have the Blu-ray or the DVD, buy the movie on Apple TV Plus, because it gives you all the extras as well. And there's a whole segment in there talking about the music. And you see these like super weird, like wooden chamber devices for this resonance. And like, there are some that are weird, like pyramid shapes. There's some that are like go from pyramid to square to like circle shape. It gets really weird. And I'm sure like...
There's a lot of math that goes behind that.
Well, I'm sure like all the stuff that we haven't heard that they like just fucked around with to like make sounds for this movie would be awesome to like just sit in a room and just be like, all right, play me this sample. Now this one.
Right. So I'm almost certain that these super low resonant notes that we're hearing right now came from those.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Because I have in high school there was a girl that was in our school band that played cello, and I don't know if you have ever, you know, been around an actual cello player that can like get really low, or if you've had a double bass with a bow.
I used to play double bass with a bow.
So you know how low in like guttural that can sound.
Yeah, no, I,
like,
absolutely.
If you are fucking cranking.
I have no doubt that it is, like, that's the originating front, but those resonance chambers probably help fill out the noise for what we're hearing now.
Maybe modified it, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is certainly, if not a cello, a double bass with a bow.
Yeah, I played stand-up bass in our jazz band.
You know.
You learn something about me every day, John.
No, I knew about that. I just forgot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Paul's walking up towards the Maker Temple. We've seen this before. I still love the design. It's my favorite of the sieges/ temples that we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut inside to one of the worm sandboxes.
The worm sandbox.
The worm sandbox.
Because the other one is a pool.
Yeah, it could be. They could have more than one. They could have more than... We've only seen one. They could have more.
Maybe.
Because, you know, each... They're not going to have multiple worms. They shouldn't have multiple worms in one box because they will kill each other.
Because we've been told that they'll kill each other. Yeah.
So if they're going to keep multiple small worms, it would not be unreasonable to say that there are multiple of these little sand pits for them.
Okay.
And we see another worm like moving underneath the sand. So this is another one of those mechanical RC worms that they made for this. Worms on a track, I guess.
Yep. Paul has his, so inside, Paul has his hood off, very respectfully took his hood off, took his goggles off, and his maker hooks are in his hand. And Paul is covered in dust.
Yes.
He is such a mess right now.
And he almost looks older right here.
I think it's just because he's covered in dust.
Yeah, that's probably true. But
he's covered in dust. His hair's blown out. He's had a rough time.
Yeah.
Recently, I mean about 12 hours ago, watched Top Secret, and it reminded me of the one bit in the movie where the girl is on the motorcycle, and then she stops the motorcycle, but her hair is still like blown way the fuck back behind her.
Oh, great movie. That is a movie from the early 80s, Val Kilmer's first movie.
What a heartthrob.
Yeah, that is a beautiful man in that movie. And it is a classic Zucker Brothers, four jokes a minute kind of movie. They're not all great, but most of them are.
The opening sequence, just the riff on the Beach Boys was hilarious. Was it about 2 minutes too long? Yes, but, you know. It was also early 80s where they did all the credits up front and everything. So.
Yep. If you like the movie Airplane, which is a much more famous movie in the same vein, and you haven't seen Top Secret, I implore you to go do that.
If you want to see the DNA that laid the foundation for Airplane, watch Top Secret.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very funny. So he's kind of just like eyeing this worm as it's
scooting. He's mean-mugging this worm. Yeah. He's not just eyeing it. And I don't know why he's so like, I mean, I do, but I, okay.
He's lost in thought. He's not thinking about the worm. He's thinking about all the shit that he's got to do now that he's here.
He knows that he is feet away from the poison that will temporarily, but not fully kill him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not happy that he's here to have to do this.
Yeah. We will get to that, but, in my notes here, I said a voice from the outer room, which I thought was a nice little fun way of saying a nice Dune way of saying this. A person from off screen in another room is just kind of chilling, sitting by the wall.
It's same room.
Different part of the room, whatever.
Yeah.
They go, "You're not allowed here, stranger. Leave or die." And that's where our minute ends.
Well, the Maker Keeper is under a shawl in the shadows, and Paul is just completely unfazed by all of this.
Well, I wasn't saying the name because at this point in the minute, we're not super sure.
We can see her.
We can see like a nose. Could you identify me just by my nose?
Yes.
You saying I got a fucked up nose? Is that what you're saying?
No, you just have a distinct nose. All right.
Yes, it is the Maker Keeper who says, "You're not allowed here, stranger. Leave or die." And that's it.
Yeah.
No book analogies for this one because of reasons that I will explain tomorrow.
Well, guess you'll have to come back for tomorrow's episode, though.
Yeah. Anything for Martin Soul? Or are they just nothing
on
this one?
It's all the same spaces that we've been in at this point, so there's nothing new for this week or next, actually. So,
all right, cool.
So far as I can tell, there's nothing new for next. The week after, we'll have some new stuff. So.
Sure. All right, cool. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, we are on bluesky@duneminute.com. You can send an email our way. The email address is duneminute@gmail.com. Would love to chat about this stuff. If you have any questions or anything, and we will be back tomorrow to talk about minute 112 to 113.
See you then.
See ya.